start things off on a quick note. Fathers in the Lord. Lots of announcements. I'll try to get through them. There are three items in the back entryway if you're interested. Habitat for Humanity needs volunteer painters. So you don't have to do construction, just paint. And it is this March 10th, Tuesday, March 10th. They have slots for showing up for painting, and that flyer is in the back. And as I mentioned before, if you're interested in a dinner theater up north, this is the Bleak Midwinter Players performance of Jacks of the North at First Baptist Church in Cook. And they have 5 times. And that also is in the back. And our Covenant Park private camp camp listings are also in the back if you want to pick one up. And I thought with the new change of the world, the digital world that we've entered into, maybe I just need to leave one back there and then you can take a picture on your phone, right? That's what everybody's doing nowadays. And then one other kind of fun event that I was notified of when Seven Churches are putting the Good Friday service together is on Tuesday, March 17th, 5:30 to 7:30, Purple versus Green Meal. So must be St. Patty's Day or close to it. So this is the St. Urho, St. Patty competition. Finnish meatballs and corned beef and cabbage stew at Our Savior's Lutheran Church. And that is not back there because I just got it. So if you're interested, you can ask me about it. Take a picture of that announcement as well. Good Friday, Holy Week. This year, we as a church don't do anything unique or special. We used to, but we have combined with 7 other churches for Good Friday services. I'll have those details out to you in printed form, in other words, in the bulletin, so you don't have to remember that. But there are several locations in our area that will be having Monday, Thursday services and Good Friday services, and Saturday benediction services and prayer services. So watch the papers. Those announcements will be in the papers. The Good Friday service that we are participating in will be 2 services, noon at Hope Presbyterian Church and 6:30 at Messiah Lutheran Church. And our announcements. We're trying to stretch our arms into the community. Today I will be going down to the Covenant Park Bible Camp this afternoon for prayer service. One thing I found out at our last meeting is, and this may be news to you, our camp, which is sponsored by the Covenant Churches in the Northeast area and the Northwest Wisconsin area, most of the kids who come to camp are not Covenant Churches. They're kids from all sorts of different churches. So it's kind of like a mission program. This Tuesday, ladies' lunch at noon, and on Wednesday is church council at 6:30, and then I put the box out for the food shelf, because March is food shelf month. And remember, you can bring donations of food. I think everybody understands financial donations. The Food Shelf says that they like the financial donations because they have connections where they turn that into more food than you would just buy in the grocery store. And then next Sunday, Youth for Christ will be here presenting. Friday and Saturday, I will be in Alexandria for a conference on rural ministries. I intend to drive back Saturday afternoon. I'd really like to be here when Youth for Christ is here. I've been kind of involved with helping them out. But if there's a snowstorm, I may not drive back. But Jeffrey will be here handling the service as he does so well. And Youth for Christ will be presenting their ministry and their music team. Their music team will be presenting as well. Just a reminder, the Bible Tribe, remember Gary Elmquist, who I don't know personally, called and said, he's collecting Bibles to be given to Mission Cry so that they can distribute Bibles. So if you have used or new Bibles that you'd like to contribute, feel free to do so. We've collected six so far, piling them up. And when we have a collection ready, I'll bring them over to Gary that way. Find out who he is. Any other announcements that I might have missed? Daylight savings and sunshine. I love sunshine. And I love this feeling that spring is coming. Our call to worship. Will you stand with me? And let's breathe responsibly the call to worship. This is taken from a hymn, and I adapted it so it sort of rhymes. The God of Abraham be praised. The Ancient of Eternal Days.
The God of Creation Love.
The Lord, the Great I Am.
Higher than heaven and death.
We bow before your holy name.
Lord, forever blessed.
And our first hymn is 219. I will sing the wondrous story. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy is the Lord. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord our God. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Traveling, so Linda, half of the team, where we are ushered this morning. It's time to receive. receive our more than offering. Let's pray together. Father, with thankful hearts, we give to you, not just here and not just now, but the minutes of our days, we give to you to honor you, to always follow you. That has been our commitment, to always honor you. Thank you that you are present with us each minute of each day. And so as we give to you, you give to us. As you give to us, we give to you, and we ask that you bless it all through Jesus, your Son.
Great.
also as the God and the Father, and Jesus, you as the Lord and Savior of all of our brothers and sisters throughout the Ironwood, Minnesota, the United States, and around the world, because each day your people honor you, and our praise ascends to your throne to delight you. We are your glory, as your word says, and it is with joy and gratitude that we honor you. Our Lord Jesus, we honor you, seated at the right hand of our Father, your Father. We honor you because of your obedience, because of your sacrifice, because for us, for people, you gave your life. And as we are in this time of remembering the sacrifice that you gave, we honor you. Receive the praise and glory of all of your people as we raise our voices, our thoughts, our hearts, our singing to you, our Savior and Lord. We thank you, Father, for this small group of people that you have placed us with, and ask that you continue to bless our friends, whether they are here or not. Continue to grow us in grace and love. Continue to help us to do your work in this place at this time, what you call us to do. We ask for a miracle, Father, for Tim, as the doctors have been helping him to try to fight this sepsis, this disease that has invaded his body. We join together with him and his prayer, his church and their prayers, that you would provide a miracle of healing for him. We pray that and ask that in the name of Jesus. We declare it in the name of Jesus, healing, that you might be honored and glorified, particularly in this case, where the medical profession has reached their limit to helping him, so that you can be displayed in glory. We ask, Father, that you would continue to bless each of us in our daily struggles and challenges and our daily joys and blessings. We honor you. We thank you. You are the best thing that has ever happened to us in our lives. And so we continue to love you, to seek you, to turn to you, to run to you, to find shelter in your arms, to find strength for the day, to find answers for life's problems. You are everything to us because of your Son, Jesus. So we praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the incredible gift that you have given to us to be people of the Holy God through Jesus. Amen. The hymn is 222. Thank you. assume that particular hymn and think of what Mary, the mother of Jesus, must have been feeling as she was near the cross watching her eldest son go through what he chose to go through. I'm sure with mixed feelings that only a mom have of her kids, and yet the other feelings of the generous gift, the generous sacrifice that Jesus was giving, not just for her, but for all of us and for everyone in the future. It's amazing. As John Newton, Amazing Grace. We're continuing our look at the Gospel of John through this Lenten season. If we didn't have the Gospel of John, we would not have the story of Nicodemus, which we'll take a look at this morning. Again, yes, we mentioned before. We would not have the story of the woman at the well. We would not have the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Those three only appear in the Gospel of John. If at 80, 90 years old, however old he was, he didn't write his gospel, those pieces would be missing. And I find those pieces to be incredibly important and an incredible blessing to us today. We visit those three stories often because they're so good and so rich about the life of Jesus and how much he loved people. In addition, of course, the raising of Lazarus was a dramatic proof of Jesus' power. I mean, Lazarus had been dead at least 3 days, about 3.5 days, and Jesus raised him from the dead. You remember Aaron and Martha's comment? He's going to be stinking. His body was deteriorating, and yet Jesus raised him from the dead. I'm also amazed that in that same narrative, we found out, which we would have not found out from any of the other Gospels, that the religious leaders were so mad at this miracle that they even wanted to kill Lazarus as well as Jesus. Another thing we would not have, if John had not written his gospel, we would not have had Jesus weeping at Lazarus' tomb. We would not have had Jesus weeping as he entered Jerusalem. John gives us a picture of Jesus with vast, deep emotions that we may not see in the other Gospels. When we get to John chapter 14, have just started the Holy Week, we find Jesus so deeply in love with his disciples that he talks to them in ways that are not recorded in the other Gospels. He even gets to the point of saying, remember, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Have you ever been at that place where you actually feel that Jesus says to you, I call you my friend? Gospel of John, we also find the emotions that he experienced heading into the Garden of Gethsemane and within Gethsemane. Sometimes we forget forget that Jesus had emotions. We also find in the Gospel of John that Jesus identified two signs from God, his Father, that told him now was the time he was going to die. We get signs from God, and sometimes we don't recognize them as signs from God. These two signs that Jesus recognized, the time before his death, seem kind of benign to us. A group of Greeks came to one of the disciples and said, "We would like to see and talk with your master Jesus." John records them as a sign to Jesus that now was the time. The second sign that is recorded in the Gospel of John that Jesus recognizes as a sign that it was his time seems more obvious, and that is when Judas left the 12 disciples and went out to finish his transaction with the religious leaders to sell Jesus for crucifixion. But this morning, I want us to look at John chapter 3 again, because without John's gospel and his first epistle, which we call 1 John, none of us today would know these five famous words, because it's only John in his gospel and in his letter of 1 John, it's only John that records these five famous words, which are, "You must be born again." We wouldn't even be talking about being born again. It wouldn't even be in our language if John had not written it for us. And so I'd like to take a look at this morning. So I always do, have to do research. So I thought, what is born? What is he talking about here? Born again. Well, the Greek word born means, well, I won't give you the Greek word, but from it we get our English word generate or regenerate. The Greek word actually means to produce a family line by conception. And so the new birth for us is God plants himself in us. Don't ask me how that works. God's got the plan. God knows how to do it. I don't need to know how to do it. God plants himself in us so that he has us as his family, born again. It doesn't mean to be born all over again. That's what Nicodemus had trouble with. He's going, "What do you mean? How does this work? How can somebody be born again?" It doesn't mean to be born over again. It means to be born from above. The word "again" that is in our scriptures also can be translated "from above." I know, Greek is weird. It can do it that way. Our language is weird too. But that word "again," that we could translate it "again," can be mean "again." It can also mean "from above." And I think that's probably what Jesus, obviously that's what Jesus was saying, born from above. So John, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, 'Teacher, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, we're not told here the signs that Nicodemus was referring to. We don't know what he had seen. But the point that we should take from this is Nicodemus was paying attention to the ministry of Jesus. Secondly, he saw the miracles that Jesus was performing. Thirdly, he believed that they were miracles. Remember when Jesus healed the blind man? And the blind man went to the religious leaders and they said, "We don't believe you. This can't happen. This couldn't have possibly happened." And the guy said, "Well, it did. All I know is that I was blind, but now I see." But the religious leaders didn't believe it. But Nicodemus here is believing these are miracles, and he's believing that Jesus is the source of those miracles. So Nicodemus gets done, and then verse 3, Jesus responds, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, the thing that is interesting to me here is that Jesus isn't responding to Nicodemus's conversation. And so I wanted to spend just a little time in talking about where Jesus lived. There are really only two realms. There's the natural realm, and there's the spiritual realm. We are told in the scriptures that God is spirit. Jesus was living in that spirit realm. Nicodemus was living here in this natural realm. And if you read Jesus' conversations with people, you often find that he's talking in a different world, a different language. And we have to think and translate, what does he mean? Because Jesus was living with his Father, in companionship with his Father. But most days, or maybe a good part of some days, we live in this natural world, right? We have to cook dinner, we have to clean the house, we have to go to work, we have to take care of regular, ordinary business. Jesus was living in the spiritual world and trying to bring that spiritual world to Nicodemus, to us. And so Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That wasn't the question Nicodemus was asking. It seems like just out of the blue. But in communion with his Father, he has this message to Nicodemus and to us. I don't know if this will impact you as much as it has impacted me. But thinking of Jesus living constantly in communion with his Father, I thought Jesus' mind, his thoughts, are always thoughts with his Father. His emotions, his feelings, were always feelings that were connected with his Father, like loving people. Jesus' will, his decisions, were always connected with his Father, and probably, for me, the most important is his heart. Was the heart of his Father. And so his heart was beating, very heart of God, as he lived his life and gave his life for us. I don't know, try it sometime when you're in prayer. Just try to move, to be in communion with the Father, and then look down on earth and try to see how God sees us, how God sees this earth through his great love.
I don't know if it'll work.
But it sure would be incredible to be able to do that. Nicodemus wasn't there. Nicodemus was down here. So he keeps asking these questions. How can a person be born again? And he goes into all this natural explanation. And Jesus' reply, of course, is, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water, natural birth, and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So Jesus takes the natural, water, and the Spirit, combines them together and says, this is how it works. I don't know if Nicodemus understood that or not. Sometimes we have a hard time understanding that. But the most important thing, I think, in that verse 5 is that the birth that Jesus is talking about here is born of the Spirit. Nothing we can do about it. This is a God thing. This is God working through his Holy Spirit for the poor English, to born us again. Incredible miracle. In fact, I believe, and I said this before, the greatest miracle, we would look at Jesus' crucifixion, probably, his resurrection. The greatest miracle for us is the new birth. To be able to be children of God is a miracle. John tells us in verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. This is the way it is for everyone who is born of the Spirit. My interpretation of that is, we can't see. I can't see whether Shirley is born again. I can't see it. It's invisible stuff. So, how do we know if another person is born again? What John is talking about here is that's pretty much none of our business. We don't go around judging or evaluating. That's not our job. That's God's job, is to judge. Well, but how do we develop fellowship with one another? We develop fellowship with one another because Shirley and Roger have said so. And so, if they say they love God, they love Jesus, I take them at their word, right? That's called a testimony. In our church, the Covenant Church, we receive people into membership because of their testimony, right? We take them at their word. That is our basis. Can we prove it's true? No, we take them at their word. It's kind of like just so uncomplicated, right? We don't choose to evaluate after that. Some churches do. We choose to take people at their word. And so a few weeks ago, we had a funeral for Julie's dad, Leo, and though I wasn't involved in the service, as I looked at that, I have not known him personally. I've known Julie. As I looked at that, and my question was he born again? Is he going to be in heaven? And I looked down and saw that he was a member here. How do you become a member? Testimony. Right? Somebody gives their testimony that they are born again. We receive that as what is the evidence? The evidence in John, I'll just give you some of these. How do we know? How do I know that I am born again? Do you know that you are born again? John first says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 through 29, that we abide in him. What does that mean? Well, we live in Jesus. So I start thinking, living in Jesus, what's that like? So I'm going to give you a comparison of how we live life. The first thing is we are babies, right? So, Christian. Babies as a Christian. We need help. And we are probably a little bit annoying during that time. But little kids, I don't know. Yeah, I know. Little kids are wonderful, aren't they? To watch, you go to a store or something like that, see a little kid, Kathy and I see a little kid, and we just smile. Even if they're being annoying to their parents, we smile. We can smile. Because we're at a distance. Babies need a lot of help. And then there's the toddler life. So the toddler is trying to learn things, trying to walk, trying to talk. In the Christian life, remember when you were like that? You were trying to walk the Christian life, trying to talk the Christian life. And then there's the elementary age, where we're learning about the Christian life. We don't have a lot of answers. Pretty basic stuff. That's why it's called elementary school. Remember when you were in elementary school as a Christian? And then after elementary school comes what? The teenage years. And what are the teenage years like? Well, the teenage years for a Christian are just like the teenage years for us down here on earth. Lots of questions, no answers, curious about everything, and not agreeing with everything. Remember when you were in the teenagers as a Christian? And you had all these questions, and not a lot of answers. And somebody would give you an answer, and you go, nah, that can't be right. Lots of questions. And then after the teenage years, we become Christian adults. We live life every day just following God, just following Jesus, just loving one another, just reading his word, just praying, just constantly in touch with the Lord for answers, for help. But in that example that I give, baby, toddler, elementary, teen, and adult, please don't think that you leave the previous life behind you. Because as we grow in Christ, we still are babies, needing God. We are still toddlers, trying to walk. We are still in the elementary school, trying to learn. And yes, at times we're still teenagers, where we stand talking with God and go, I don't like it. And still, we go on with God, walking with God. I encourage you to read John chapter 3. I encourage you to read 1 John chapter 2. Those two chapters are the ones that talk about being born again. born again is. But not just the future, it's here and now. I've said this before. Jesus is my constant companion and my constant source all the time. And yes, there are times where I just get into a thing where I analyze or think, that's my problem, I think too much. And I forget, and then I remind myself, wait a minute, go to the Lord and ask Him for help. Go to the Lord and ask Him for answers. Go to the Lord and ask Him, what should I do? And I have to say this, when I do that, God has always been faithful to me. The answers I get aren't always the answers that I like, but they're the answers that work. And of course, I like that part. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you came here for a miracle in the lives of people. That's us. You came here and gave your life so that a new life could start in us. We reach out to you for that new life. Not just the start, but every single day, every single phase of our lives, we need you. But we don't want it to end there. We want friends of ours, people like we don't even know, across the Iron Range, to find this new life in you, the life that you gave your life for. And so we would ask, Lord Jesus, that you would sweep across the Iron Range, touching the hearts of so that they can turn to you and find this peace and love and joy and strength and help that we have found in you. We know only you can do it. We know that you want to do it, and so we agree in prayer with you and ask that you will do it. All across the world, in all the churches, in the people who are not in the churches, just pour out your love and your spirit across our area and bring people to you and bring people back to you. We thank you that we can ask this and know that you will do it because of your name, Jesus. Amen. Our last hymn is number 78. It was a requested one, and let me remind you, if you have a hymn that you would like to include, just take one of those little cards or envelopes and write the name of it on there and drop it in the offering. You can even do it. The last two requests have been in the offering plate after the service. So you just drop it in there, and we can include it. It's good to be able to sing hymns that are important to us. Great is thy faithfulness, number 78.
There is no shadow of turning when you. Amen.